And off we go, ladies and gentlemen, just like that. The final hour of the Rob Brown Show starts now. Live from the College Football Hall of Fame here in Atlanta, Georgia. It is day two of four of SEC Media Days. We are here thanks to our friends at Ingles Supermarkets, kind enough to give us a whole bunch of money so that we could justify coming over here and goofing off and calling it a real job. Yes, indeed, they are, and this event is. And you know what else is wonderful? It is wonderful when you get to share some airtime with a dear friend, with a compatriot, with a colleague, with an amigo, with somebody that I've got to call a direct coworker many moons ago down in Destin, Florida, and now he is a host on 92.9 The Game right here. He runs every sports scene in the ATL, my dear friend Abe Gordon, taking a few minutes. What's up, big fella?
Oh, not much, man. It's great to see you. Happy you guys are down here. That's awesome, and it's been a wild week, and today is, in my opinion, is the biggest day. Again, locally here in Atlanta, obviously the Georgia factor. As many are terming it with respect to the Missouri Valley Conference, of course, Arch Madness today, Arch Manning and Texas speaking. I think this is the big central day of the SEC. I know Sankey spoke yesterday and got some stuff, but today's a big one, man.
Today's a big one. Yesterday was interesting. You had Greg Sankey, and I did want to ask you a little bit about some of that, and then I want to transition over to the Georgia Bulldogs here in a minute. You and I had a conversation about them on my national show on Saturday. We're going to bring it over here, but let's start with yesterday. And the news that kind of made the waves from Greg Sankey was that he openly acknowledged two things. Number one, he called the SEC a super conference, which I think is the first time he's used that term.
Yeah.
And then he talked about the fact that maybe college expansion isn't going to happen next year because of a dispute with the Big Ten. I want to start with the Super Conference comments, because I don't know if this is hot takey or not, and if there's one dude in this building who's going to say, Rob Brown, shut up, that's a hot take, it's you. What I find interesting is that over the past couple of months, maybe years, the term Super Conference has kind of almost gained like a secondary meaning, or we use it a little bit differently, right? Like, I think Greg Sankey just meant, we got 16 teams, we're a big-ass conference now. But I also think that for a lot of us as fans, we have listened the last couple of years, and the term super conference has effectively gone to describe there's the haves and the have-nots. We know the SEC and the Big Ten are. We know he who has the gold makes the rules. We know they got all the gold. That was the first time in hearing him use that yesterday that it felt to me like there was, and this is where it maybe gets hot takey, almost an acknowledgement from Greg Sankey that we run the show. Y'all know we run the show. Now we just got to figure out between us and the Big Ten how the show's going to go.
Well, there's two things that work in my mind here. And I think when you talk about the super conference terminology as Greg Sankey used it, he's talking about all sports. I think you look at the SEC, he's using super conference not just for football. Look what we did in basketball, championship. Look what we did in baseball, championship. Look what we do in track and field, gymnastics, tennis, cross country. Well, they're not great in cross country. It's an ACC sport. But I think you understand where I'm headed with this. I think it's so much more than just a football comment from Sankey to call the SEC a super conference, because it encapsulates the ability of the SEC to outperform not just in one sport, in pretty much any sport they want to take on. I think when you look at it in relation to just college football, there's been a suggestion that, hey, no, and a lot of it has to do with the realignment that we've seen in the past 5-6 years. There is no more Power Five. There's really not a Power Four. You can argue if the ACC is even part of a Power Three. It's a Power Two. Now, if you have a Power Two, are you going to continually grow? And you're going to make two conferences of 20 or 28 teams and get to 40 or 48 or 56 and kind of just dual super conference thing? I think it's the funniest suggestion in the world, and it's been going on for a while. And here's what happens if you continually grow these conferences. Let's just use the number 20, right? Big Ten and SEC, they're not that far from 20. All right, so you get 20 teams in each conference. What do you then do? You split them into an Eastern and a Western, or a Northern and a Southern, and you have divisions. And you go right back to that, and they don't play each other until a championship game, and all that. What does that sound like? It sounds like what we just came from with conferences. It's the exact same thing we just left. You're just changing the names around. So I just find it hilarious that that's like this big, here's where we're trending. Like, time is a flat circle, man. We're trending right back to the thing we just had. Maybe it's controlled by fewer people, and I think that's obviously what the significant portion of it is. But, like, if you have 20 teams and you just split them into East-West and they just play each other, that's the SEC and the ACC, the Big Ten and the Big 12. Like, it's still just conferences.
It's similar to me. The comparison I made is watching over the last couple of years what's happened in TV, right? Like, we all started cord cutting because we started getting these streaming services.
Yeah.
And it's gotten to the point now where there are so many streaming services. And Rob Manfred of Major League Baseball said this outright yesterday at the baseball press conference. He's like, look, our product is so spread out. You got to have Apple. You got to have Peacock. You got to have this. You got to have that. And it's gotten to the point now where I got to pick and choose streaming services to watch what I want to watch. I got to pay a different amount. So my bill's just like it was in cable, and now I got 18. We just circled back to cable, but just more complicated.
And now people are coming up with the genius suggestion to find a way to put the MLB app and the NFL app and Peacock and blah, 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 all in one plan. And they call it a bundle.
Yeah.
And that's what cable
was.
We're
a cable,
I agree with you. The technology, again, we're changing terms. The technology is slightly different, but it's really the same thing. By the way, I never cut the cord just because I there's too much going on with cable. There's too much of a beneficial factor. If you're a non-sports person, which I don't think you, me, anyone listening here on the Fan Upstate, no one is. But, like, I can understand it from a non-sports perspective if you want to watch – a little bit of news and some dramas or something. From the sports perspective, there was zero value to me in cutting the cable. And so I never got to that point. I'm glad I never did. I still had to get some streaming services to make sure I can see what I want. But I'm not cutting the cable then, and I'm not going to do it now.
Abe Gordon, 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Let's talk about the other part of the conversation that Greg Sankey made waves with yesterday, and that was saying, hey, Tony Petitti and I, we talked 4 out of the 5 days last week. We're trying to get on the same page because, again, they that have the goal make the rules. We're going to expand to 16. That is an inevitability. But he said we're far apart on what that format is. The SEC coaches said at spring media day or said at spring meetings down in Destin, they want a 5 plus 11. Sankey seems to be backing them on that. Tony Petitti and the Big Ten went the 4-4-2-2 plus model. They are pretty standard to that. My take is, I saw a lot of people talking about it. I heard a lot of people here talking about that yesterday. And, oh, does this threaten expansion or whatever? And my take was, no. Because at the end of the day, there's a third group involved in this, and they might be the most important group, which is the networks. And if you tell the networks, we're going to give you 4 more teams, which means we're going to give you 2 more games, and we can stretch college football's playoffs out longer. And Lord knows we're watching, whether it's 3 weeks or 15, we're watching every game. There's too much money on the table not to expand, so it's not will or will it in 2026. It's just a matter of, is it 5 plus 11? Is it 4-4-2-2-2? Is it some, and I don't know that one exists, but some weird hybrid in the middle? Maybe it's like a 2-2-2-2, and then the SEC gets priority. I don't know what it looks like, but the reality is there's too much on the table not for this thing to expand to 16 and not to do it next year if that is what these networks, including ESPN, ultimately want.
Yeah, and speaking of ESPN, we just wrapped up my show, and we were talking with Heather Dinich of ESPN, and I asked her a very similar question. It's just like, hey, man, the reason we're talking about expanding the basketball tournament is because of the financials involved. And the reason that we're talking about expanding the college football playoff are the financials involved. The schools get an extra $400 million or whatever the number was when they went from 4 teams out to 12. I think ultimately it will expand. I think the question is the format. It's going to expand. I definitely agree with you. I think the SEC is going to win out, whatever choice of their format is going to be. And the difference is I don't know what the Big Ten's doing. I really don't know what their plan is. The SEC has looked at numbers. They have gone over year after year after year, going back a long time, over the past however many years, 30, 40 years of what the field could have been, and determined that, hey, it is more beneficial to have the one auto and a bunch of at-larges for our conference than it is to have 4 autos and maybe we don't get an at-large. And so they're going to stick with that because they've determined through, and I know everyone's into analytics nowadays, but they've determined through the right metrics and study and math that it is more beneficial. it I get it that the Big Ten and the SEC are trying to talk. It's very convenient for Petitti to have kind of the, quote, final word, right? It would be an absolute disaster for the Big Ten and Petitti if they had held their media days first, and then Greg Sankey just comes on and completely nixed everything. At least now he can build a response and try and maybe publicly talk the SEC into joining forces again, because it was a – they were aligned.
Yeah.
And then the meetings down in Destin came, and they were no longer aligned.
Yeah.
And I think it was because of that study, because of that math, that the coaches and the ADs and ultimately Greg Sankey said, this is not what's in our best interest.
When that news dropped, I was on the air when that article – I think Heather put that article up. But when that news dropped, I was – that the coaches all wanted the 5 plus 11 – and that Sankey came out and backed it. It was the first time in a long time I was genuinely like, what now?
It was so out of nowhere, because they had been aligned. And for 2 or 3 months, the reporting of is here's the format that these two big conferences want that are definitely screwing over the little guys, right? For sure. Like, without question, you're maxed out at two, you're maxed out at two, you're maxed out at one. All of these at-larges are going to go to us. That was where we were headed with the 4-4-2-2-1. And now the SEC is like, cool beans, man. This might have helped both of us, but this other one might help us even more than it's going to help you. And we're going to play by that. It did come out of nowhere. I'm fascinated by it. And you just don't see a public split like that when there's money on the line, where there's a
And on the drop of a dime. Like, that was the shocking part for sure. Abe Gordon, 92.9 The Game in Atlanta here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Up. Say, all right, let's talk a little ball here. We are, in the next day or two, as the media members here in attendance, going to be voting on predicted order of finish in the Southeastern Conference, picking the top teams, et cetera. I came into this place thinking I'm putting Georgia number one.
Okay.
I'm coming into here thinking I'm Georgia number one. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. I'm intrigued. I'm not saying I'm sold on it. I'm intrigued by Gunnar Stockton. At the end of the day, Kirby Smart's the dog until somebody knocks him off.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I look at the fact that not only does Texas have Georgia and Ohio State, those are both away games that they've got to play this year.
It sounds like there's a hold on, but coming.
There's not a, there. No, no, no. Genuinely, my question is, I am looking at Georgia, and what I assume is going to be the 2028 Philadelphia Eagles defense that they will field this year. I came into this thinking I'm putting Georgia number one, and even after hearing from the four teams we heard of yesterday, and obviously we're going to hear from Texas, we're going to hear from Alabama, Kalen DeBoer later in the week, etc. I haven't found a reason to I'm looking for a reason to talk myself out of that.
Yeah.
I don't have one other than Arch Manning, and I don't think it's unfair to have questions about Arch just like you do about Gunnar Stockton.
Well, but here's the fascinating thing for me in regards to Texas, and I have Georgia at number one along with you, but almost more by default because I don't trust anyone else. I don't necessarily trust Georgia because I think Gunnar Stockton's the total wild card. I think their receiver room is supposed to be significantly better, but a lot of them are young or transfers. We haven't seen a lot from them. I think they're a total wild card. The defense is, in theory, not as revved up and ramped up as they have been in years past. I call BS on that. I think by midway through the season, you're going to be like, I can't believe we didn't have a first-round grade on this guy or that guy. That's just how I know Georgia develops and rolls dudes in. The question for me isn't about Arch Manning, because I think the other discussion is Texas.
Yeah.
I get it. We can kind of loosely, if we want to force a discussion of South Carolina or LSU, I can break those down and tear them all down if you want me to. The question is about Texas. And one, I agree with you. I don't really know what Arch Manning is to be able to be like Heisman contender, number one draft pick, blah, blah, blah. Like, we're just coming off a year where we had Carson Beck as all those.
Yeah.
And Georgia was still competitive despite the fact that not even in the first round, had to transfer, like all of nowhere near the Heisman discussion, all of those things that went around it. And so I'm not going to throw another SEC quarterback that I haven't really seen perform into that discussion. The thing for me, though, is I don't think it's about Arch. I think it's about the rest of the team.
Sure.
They lost so much talent at receiver.
Matthew Golden's going to be a stud in the NFL.
He's not the only one that went. They lost a ton of talent along the defensive line. I was talking with Chip Brown of 24/7 here, covers Texas, and he's like, yeah, but their whole new offensive line has been working with the second team with Arch Manning last year. I'm like, all I heard was you got a bunch of guys who were running second team O-line, and that's just a real concern. I'm not saying they're not up to it, right? Texas reloads the same way Ohio State does, the same way Georgia does. It could be revved up, but I got so many questions about the Longhorns beyond just Arch Manning that I just have a tough time, a little bit of hesitancy, putting them above Georgia right now. So I'm with you.
I like it. I want to get your thoughts on, because you mentioned a couple of teams that I think are interesting, and I think you hit all the things I was going to say about Texas. So
yeah.
Instead, let's look at that tier two list. I think Alabama's on it. Nobody wants to be the dude that follows the dude. Nobody wants to be the guy that follows the goat. Big shoes for Kalen DeBoer. I really like Kalen DeBoer. Questions at quarterback. Is Simpson the guy?
How do you not bring him?
Yeah.
How do you not bring him?
Yeah.
And the fact that, and this goes back to Georgia bringing Gunnar Stockton. We talked to a lot of people. In and around that cover the Bulldogs, did not expect Gunner to be here. They thought it was going to be Oscar Delp representing
sure.
the offense. The fact that Georgia brings Gunner Stockton speaks volumes. The fact that Alabama sat or left Ty Simpson speaks volumes. Now, the one thing I will say about Bama is those dudes could get it on the outside. Bernard and Ryan Williams can get it on the outside. And so he's going to have help, right? He's going to definitely have help, but I don't know. I mean, of all the quarterbacks we can talk about here that might be leading a team, Gunnar Stockton, Lenore Sellers, Nussmeier, Arch Manning, I have the least amount of faith in Ty Simpson right now. And that, to me, is such a big concern that I just can't throw him up there right now.
All right. You were here yesterday as well. You saw the chaos. You saw the rock star aura that was following Lenore Sellers around. Everywhere he went, there were dudes trailing in his wake. Absolutely fair. This is a top 7-8 Heisman odds guy.
Yeah.
Here was the take I had, and I it sounds already like you're going to kick the legs out, and that's fine. That's why I brought you over here, to take the heat off of me for a minute. South Carolina this year has got to be a year. And again, they went 10 wins last year. They were an LSU ref-stolen win or an Alabama slam their own junk at a door loss at Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
Either one of those results go the other way. South Carolina's in the playoff last year. So the step forward this year is get there, sneak in, last spot, whatever it takes. But I've also said the reason why it feels important is not just that it feels like the year that Shane's 4 years of culture building need to start turning into results here, but it also feels like with Lenore Sellers, which everybody's in on, we'll see if you're the outlier here, it feels like this is, if South Carolina's ever had a year to have a Tebow, to have a Newton, to have one of those guys that you go, this kid is face of this program and is going to be for a very long time, it's this year with Lenore's. And I would be concerned about there being too much pressure, except for that cat went down to Death Valley in Clemson, South Carolina last year and gutted a win out for the boys on the road. Are you in? Are you out? Where are you putting him, and where are you putting the Gamecocks because of it?
I think it was a great coincidence yesterday that both South Carolina and Vanderbilt were presenting on the same day, because I see a lot of similarities. Now, they are different tiers, right? Vanderbilt is still at one tier, and South Carolina is at a slightly different tier. I think that running it back from the culture perspective, from the quarterback perspective for both programs, though, is what you're looking for. I just don't think it's as easy as people expect it to be. And Lenore Sellers is a guy that came in without the sort of hype that a lot of SEC quarterbacks come in last year. Had an incredible season. Now you're thrust into it. Now you have to back it up. Now you have to do it again. And it's the same thing with Diego Pavia at Vanderbilt. Now, Lenore ain't talking the sort of trash that Pavia is. I understand that. And again, we're at a different tier for Vanderbilt than we are for South Carolina. The tier South Carolina talking about, well, I guess the tier Vandy's talking about is the playoffs, but that's just them talking. The tier that South Carolina is actually in is, can we make the playoffs this year? I just think it's incredibly difficult to run it back. Vanderbilt snuck up on teams last year. I think near the end of the season when South Carolina was starting to get on a roll, they started to sneak up on teams. And by the time you're like, hey, we better get going against these guys, it was too late. I just think it's so difficult in this conference to have a breakout and follow it up with an improvement, a step forward. That's my concern with Lenore Sellers. That's my concern with the Gamecocks, and it's certainly my concern with Pavia and Vanderbilt.
That is more than fair. Abe Gordon from 92.9, the game in Atlanta runs this city. My guy, I'm glad we got to catch up. I'm glad we got to share the airwaves in person. A little ATL United Wednesday night. Your boys going to the first MLS game of the season.
I was going to ask if you were headed there.
Yeah.
I'll be up in the press box. Got pregame and postgame duties. So
fancy.
I didn't have to respond.
Shut up.
To the
You're
email.
Going for the catered meal. Be honest.
You want to see my credential?
You're the best, buddy. Good to see you.
You too, bro.
Abe Gordon, 92.9, the game on here in Atlanta. You can also follow him on X at Abe Gordon. You can follow us into the next segment. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show, live from SEC Media Days in Atlanta, Georgia, at the College Football Hall of Fame. This is the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show live at the College Football Hall of Fame here in Atlanta, Georgia for day number two of Southeastern Conference Media Days. Coming up later on today, we will open the morning session with the Auburn Tigers and the Georgia Bulldogs. As a matter of fact, I'm looking in, you may be able to see it on the stream, but hey, there's Hugh Freeze right there, the head coach of the Auburn Tigers at the podium giving his speech right now. We will.
It's such a cool angle for you.
Isn't it great?
Be able to see that, yeah.
Especially when I turned around yesterday. We talked about this in the first hour of the show. Yesterday was Ole Miss. And, of course, everybody's favorite college football head coach slash online internet troll in person, Lane Kiffin, was here. And Lano, a.k.a., and I'm calling him this for this week because of what I'm about to tell you, Joey Freshwater rolled up in this bad boy yesterday. And I turned around because he was speaking in the afternoon, so we were obviously not on the air, and I had a handful of moments between interviews to chime in, to pop into the stream and listen to Joey Freshwater's speech. And so I'm like, oh, he's like right there. While I'm listening on the headsets, I should turn around and watch Lane. So I turned around, and Lane was speaking right there where Hugh Freeze is currently at the podium giving his State of the Union for the Auburn Tigers. And I looked, and Lane had on, first off, $1 million suit. Why wouldn't he? Because he has $1 million. So he's got on $1 million suit. And then I looked. Now, the one thing that I have noticed, not here, but just in general, is that the suit with sneakers combination has, like, that's just the norm now, all right? That's just the mainstream. You wear a suit, but you can throw on some kicks. Now, they got to be nice, all right? Don't put on your lawn-cutting slippers, all right? Don't roll up in here with your 1987 Air Monarchs or whatever. Like, you got to put on some nice kicks to do it. You got to put on some J's. You got to put on some Air Force Ones. You got to put on.
So you're saying even if they're brand new, they have to be of a certain
if you're going to wear them
coolness?
With a suit. If you're going to wear them with a suit, they've got to reflect that you are dressing up the suit, not dressing
it
down.
What if you're 75 years old and you could care less?
Well, you could care less. But if you are, let's say hypothetically, standing down there representing your entire university, right? Like if there is a level of representation of other people that you command by being you and doing the thing, then yeah, put in a little effort. And so Lane shows up.
Well, who do you expect to have the best sneaker game? It would be Lane.
Lane.
Right?
Without, okay. There are two dudes in the game that is the correct answer for. Mack Brown has always been one. And I would even go so far as to say that Mack Brown may be the college football coach that took the suits with sneakers game and made it the mainstream. All right. I did a philanthropic event down in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Golly, probably 15 years ago when Mack Brown was the head coach of the Texas Longhorns back during the Vince Young era. I did an event there, and Mack Brown was a keynote speaker for the All Sports Association. Mack rolled up to this event. It was a banquet. It was a fish fry banquet. So, you know, like kind of informal, but still – Mack Brown is showing up as the head coach of the University of Texas. He's showing up to rep the Horns, right? Mack Brown showed up in dress slacks and a dress shirt, and he had on a pair of custom-tailored Jordans that matched him top to bottom, to the point that I brought it up at the time, and I was in my like mid-20s, and I'm like, Coach, shoe game strong. And he that's been a thing. Go look at any picture of Mack Brown, whether it's at Texas or North Carolina or in retirement, and the shoe game is always strong. He's a Jordan guy, because he's a Carolina guy. He's a Jordan guy, and they're always perfect to the suit. Lane Kiffin is number two. So I looked down at Lane, and I looked at the feet because he had on jet black sneakers with just the little white logo on the side. Now, it matched the suit. The suit was like gray with black trim. He had the jacket inlay was a bunch of Ole Miss logos. It was pretty dope. But I looked, and these jet black sneakers jumped out at me for whatever reason. So being the weirdo that I am, I took my cell phone, and I zoomed in on the kicks. And I actually posted them on Twitter, at the Rob Brown Show, if you want to follow me over there. I zoomed in on the kicks. Lane rolled up in some Gucci sneakers. And I don't say Gucci like the way that the kids use Gucci, like Gucci is good, like Gucci means nice and expensive or whatever. I mean, they were literally Gucci sneakers. Lonzo, back in the first segment when I brought this up and pointed that out to him, Lonzo went and looked up the Gucci sneakers, and they run you about how much, great one?
About 1,000.
About a G, about a strat, about a gur, all right? Lane rolled up to SEC Media Days, stood right down there on that podium down there, rocking $1,000 to $1,100 sneaks, and pulled it off, man. I got to tell you, I'm not cool enough that I could throw on Gucci sneakers and get away from it. I can rock a pair of Jordans, no problem. I can throw on some AF1s, get away with it. I absolutely cannot pull off a pair of Gucci sneakers.
What do you think the resale on the Gucci sneaker is?
I mean, I don't know.
Worn
is the
once
answer.
Or twice. You can put it on that one thing you see commercials for all the time where people are selling their clothes.
Yeah, throw it up on the resale website. I don't know is the answer. Here's what I do know. What I do know is you can sell them for 70% of what they cost, and I still ain't buying them. All right. Now, I'm not a big sneaker guy. I got a handful of pairs of good sneakers. I got the Jordans I bought for the wedding. I did buy another pair of Jordans not too long ago that are they're blue and orange for the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. So I'll be rocking those at Swamp Rabbit games next year. I got a couple of pair of custom high top Chucks, like the old Chuck Taylors. I've got a couple of pair of Vans skate shoes, like they're upscaled Vans that I had customized, whatever. I probably got like 6 pairs of shoes, different colors, whatever.
By the way, I'm not a shoe guy, but here's all the custom-made shoes
have. In fairness, though, where I was going with that is those shoes were all like the most expensive shoes I own. I think the wedding shoes ended up at like 160, but that was for my wedding day justified. All the rest of them are like 120, 130, absolute top end. Lane could walk up there right now and be like, yo, do you want these Gucci kicks for $500, half of what I paid? And I'd be like, nah, I'm all right, dog. I'm good. I don't need them.
What if he autographed them?
Nah, I still don't need them. I'd say what I did. I'll tell you what, Lane. What if instead of me giving you $500 for sneaks, what do you say you and I go hit Magic City later? What do you say you and I go hit Magic City and get some lemon pepper wings later on in the show? Which, by the way, I am doing tonight.
I know you keep saying it. You've said it for years. You haven't done it yet. All I can say is, please show up tomorrow.
Has there been a better opportunity?
I mean, because if you do go.
Here's the thing. This is true. This is why I know these wings are legit. And I had this pointed out to me yesterday because I was talking to somebody yesterday about this. One of the other broadcasters that's here, we were talking about it towards the end of the day. He's like, yo, what are we getting into? Hey, buddy, I've made a buddy the last day or two. He's like, what are you getting into tonight? Where are you going tonight? Whatever. And I said, tonight I'll probably lay low, but tomorrow, we got a little reception of the media reception down at a bar in downtown. And I said, after that's over, I'm probably going to head to Magic City. I want to get the wings. We were talking about Lemon Pepper Lou and all that. And he's like, I have wanted to do that too. And I was like, here's the thing, man. Like, I'm 40, I'm married, I'm old. I don't want to be out till night. And I don't really even, like, I'm not really, this is not a joke. Nobody believes me. I'm like, I don't really want to go to the strip club. I want the wings. If Lemon Pepper Lou was willing to break the COVID bubble to get Magic City wings, and I'm here, I got to go. I don't really care about the strip club. I'm going to keep it a buck. I'm married. My wife walks around that way in the house all the time. I'm good. All right? I'm treated well. Then
Wait.
I got to tell you this part before you judge. He said, here's the thing, Rob Brown. To get the wings, you don't have to go in. They literally now, these wings have gotten so big after the 2020 COVID year with Lemon Pepper Lou, who maybe dropped the greatest advertisement for anything ever. He said they now have takeout. At Magic City, you can roll up. You don't have to go into the strip club. They got a little section to the side. You walk up. You order at the counter just like fast food. They bag it up. They hand it to you. You take it back to the crib. I don't even have to go in Magic City to get the Magic City wings. I can roll up, get them takeout, bring them back to the hotel, and knock them back and do my review from there.
All right. First of all, do the strippers work the window? I'm just curious about that.
I don't know. I don't know. And personally, I don't care. Make that money, young lady.
The other thing, I've never been to those type of establishments, never will, but if you're going to a world-famous place, shouldn't you go in and see why it's world-famous? I'm just curious.
Here's the thing, and this is going to sound like I'm being sarcastic, and I'm not. There are gentlemen's clubs around these United States, there are gentlemen's clubs that are famous for the gentlemen's clubbing. All right, there's a bar called in Tampa called Mons Venus. This place has been around for a gazillion years, and that's where all the NFL and NBA players go. That place is known for you can go Tuesday at 10 in the morning, and there is a 10 of 10 Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover model knockout on stage.
Is that Magic where Val City. Venus is from?
No, that's a different Venus. Mons Venus is famous for the girls, for the entertainers, for the performers. This place is not known for the talent. This place is known for the wings and the food and it just being a vibe. As a matter of fact, I had a co-host on Saturday, Sean Bell, on the BetMGM network. And Sean used to be down this way. And I said, Sean, I said, look, man, because he's telling me, he's like, you got to go. And I said, here's the thing, dude. I'm going to roll up there on a Tuesday afternoon. I'll tell you what I don't want. I don't want to roll up in there as an average, fat, out of shape, middle-aged white dude and have everybody in there be like, yo, what's this cat doing here? And he said to me, I promise you it's going to be the most demographically diverse place you've ever been. There are people from every walks of life, rich, poor, black, white. It doesn't matter. Everybody's there. And he said, here's the thing. 20% of the people are there for the dancers. 80% are there for the wings because they are that good. So that's it. That's it. Like, it's got to happen. I've been waiting for the chance to review the lemon pepper wings. Wings so good, my man broke the bubble and risked an NBA paycheck for it. I got to try it. I think tonight's the night.
I hope you're not disappointed in the wings after all this hype.
I know, dude. If we've been building up for 5 years and they're not that good, or worse, I've built them up so high in my head that they can't live up to it, that's going to be disappointing.
No, you'd never do that.
I know, right? I've had nobody say I'm going to do anything but love them. All right, we got to run to a break. When we come back, we wrap up the show. I got a little bit more sound from yesterday. I'll let you know what we got going on the rest of today, and we'll carry you off into day two of SEC Media Days live from the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, Georgia, presented by Ingles. It's a special edition of the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. Special edition of the Rob Brown Show, live at the College Football Hall of Fame here in Atlanta, Georgia, for SEC Media Days. Thank you, Mr. Deep-Voiced Announcer Guy, for that wonderful introduction. Of course, presented by our friends at Ingles Supermarkets. Low prices, love the savings. We are honored to be here. Hugh Freeze just got done with his initial press conference a few moments ago. The Auburn Tigers and Georgia Bulldogs are the two teams in the morning session. We are awaiting Kirby Smart and his dogs to arrive here in just a few minutes. And, of course, we will clip up some sound. Again, let me tell you, because I've been asked, like, who are you having on and when are you having on, Rob? Let me tell you how this has effectively worked out. The Southeastern Conference basically said that you have to schedule interviews with their sports information directors. I have put in to schedule interviews with the SIDs. I have heard back from some of them. I have heard back from others saying, unfortunately, we do not have the time, because all of these schools are effectively, they effectively have like an hour to 2 hours top end when they are here. And so what's happened for a lot of them is they obviously schedule the outlets that cover them first. They obviously schedule the big-time networks, the ESPNs, the Fox Sports, et cetera, second. And then whatever time they have left after that, they distribute to the rest of everybody. And that, unfortunately, does include South Carolina. We got yesterday, did get two interviews. Very happy to have had DQ Smith and Nick Barrett play the DQ Smith interview earlier. I will be posting both of those interviews a little bit later on the social media pages across the Fan Upstate. So make sure you check those out. But what I get is what I get. I do know confirm right now. I have Peter Burns from the SEC Network today, Benjamin Watson from the SEC Network tomorrow, and then fingers crossed, not promised, hopefully Laura Rutledge on Thursday. Those are confirmed. David Nuno from TexAgs Live is going to join us later on today. He has been covering the SEC for 20-plus years now. He is going to join us today. I will record that interview. I am working on Josh Pate of CBS Sports. I had a very brief conversation with him earlier this morning. And he said he would try to stop by later on today. They have a lot of live hits they are doing this afternoon. So no promises on Josh Pate. We are working on that. And then as we get players and coaches handed to us, because basically they write back and they say, okay, we've got you on our list. And if we can get you there, we'll get you there. As I get guys, I'll post them on the social media as we go. Now, before we get up out of here, I want to play you. And Lonzo and I are going to play a little round of hold up. All right, the game is very simple. I am going to play you the longest form audio we got from Shane Beamer yesterday, his full Q&A press conference, and I'm just going to start playing it. And as we go and as we get answers and questions asked of Shane Beamer for the next handful of minutes, if Lonzo and I want to say something in response, we'll just say, hold up. I'll stop the audio, and then we'll pick it back up. Here was some of the time that Shane Beamer spent talking to the public yesterday.
We got better as the season went on. I think you always look at a team, how do they improve from week one to the end of the season? And there's no question we all improved as the week, as the season went. So that'll be critical to do. We were very opportunistic on defense in regards to taking the ball away and creating turnovers. We need to continue to do that. And then I think for us, it would be a lot that we can be better at. You're always looking at how you can improve, but, you know, a couple things. We need to be better at protecting the football offensively, and we'd like to score more touchdowns in the red zone. You look at us, I think we had the same number of trips to the red zone last year that Alabama did, but yet they had, I want to say, seven more touchdowns than we did. So we need to make sure when we get down there, it's hard to score in this league, as you guys know. When we get down there, we need to make sure we're converting those drives into touchdowns.
Front row, and then pass it to your left.
Hey, Shane. Your fifth SEC Media Days as Carolina's head coach, what would you say is the difference in how this program is perceived from that first year to now this year?
This was my favorite question and answer, by the way.
I think about this every year coming to this event in 2021 over in Hoover, and there weren't very, very many expectations for that team. There was a national reporter that week that said the ceiling for our program in 2021 was two wins, was the ceiling. And now here we are 5 years later, and y'all are having conversations about Lenora Sellers being a Heisman Trophy candidate, and people are talking about this team being a playoff team. And we embrace that, Rick. We embrace the expectations. But it's certainly changed in regards to how we're seen. There's more attention on us and more people that want to talk about South Carolina football than what there was in 2021. But we're also very respectful and very cognizant of the fact that it's truly year to year. Every season's a new season. We've come a long way since 2021, but we're not slowing down by any stretch of the imagination, and understanding that we did a lot in 24, but 25 is a new year. And regardless of what people are saying about us or how we're perceived, we ultimately have to go play and coach good football, and that's what we're trying to do.
All right, hold up. I want to respond to that very quickly, because Shane said something there that kind of echoed, and I think was said even better yesterday by Nick Barrett, defensive lineman for the Gamecocks. I asked Nick yesterday a very similar question. I said, all right, you were part of the team last year. You guys got to 10 wins, but you also got left out. You were likely the first team out. And if LSU goes the other way, if Alabama goes the other way, you're probably in the playoffs. I said, how much of that is a chip on the shoulder for you guys this year? How much is that a driving factor? How much is that of that is an inspiration for you guys to, when you get into those close games, to kind of have an idea of how much is going to be on the line? And do you feel like maybe that's going to add too much pressure? And Nick Barrett said, Lonzo, I think you'll like this quote too. He said, look, it's obviously a motivating factor. It's obviously something we're considering. It's obviously something that's going to be fresh in our minds. It's obviously something that we will be thinking about, especially when we get into those close games against good teams. He said, but here's the thing. This is not 2024 part two. This is 2025. It's a new movie. It's a new setup. It's a new scene. It's a new team. There's new actors. And I'm paraphrasing. I'm spicing up what he said. But he said, direct quote, this is not 2024 part two. This is 2025. We have different goals, higher goals, loftier goals, higher ambitions, higher drive, and the success we are looking for is not to try to say, oh, you guys screwed us last year. Oh, we should have been there last year. The success we want to have this year is because that's who we are, because that's what we want to be. We don't want to be a new version of the 2024 South Carolina Gamecocks. We want to be the 2025 Gamecocks. We want to be the 2025 Gamecocks, a team that is talked about, a team that is remembered, a team that achieves something that goes down into the history books in Columbia, South Carolina, and here at the College Football Hall of Fame. We don't want to do it as revenge for last year. We want to do it because we know we are good enough to do it this year. And when I hear that, and when I hear that answer from Shane Beamer in yesterday's Q&A, Lonzo, like I said, maybe I am looking at this through rose or garnet and black color glasses. Maybe I am saying this because I am optimistic because, hey, if they pull off everything they say they want to pull off, my job's going to get a lot easier and we're going to make a little bit more money on top of it. Maybe I am being an optimist here, but I believe Shane, I believe Nick, I believe DQ. These guys are not talking in the cliches of, oh, you know, gotta let the past be in the past, eyes forward, only goals that are ahead of us matter, blah, blah, blah. When he said, we are not doing 2024 part two, we are doing 2025 part one, we want this team to be remembered for what this team did, not what they did in response to last year's team, I bought in, dude.
Yeah, when you climb the steps so high that there's only a few more steps and you can actually see that goal over there, you don't want to stay on that same step. You want to keep going. And, yeah, I think that sounds awesome.
I agree.
I am very excited.
I agree.
All right, time for a quick look at what the X is going on. First thing it's Xing is your boy, Pat McAfee.
Pat McAfee Xing for a couple of reasons. Number one, yesterday he hosted most of Major League Baseball's All-Star activities over at Truist Park in Atlanta. The reason he's Xing, though, is because MLB, and unfortunately Pat McAfee was at the podium when this happened, MLB got asked the question. You guys pulled the All-Star game from Atlanta back in 2020, and you said it was over restrictive voting laws. Those voting laws in Georgia did not change, and yet you brought the All-Star game back here anyway, which I think is a fair and valid question to ask. I just don't know why it needed to be directed at Pat McAfee in that spot. I am fine with somebody asking Rob Manfred or the rest of the baseball administrative office that question because I think it's a question that deserves to be answered for those of us where sports and politics blend. But to throw that question at Pat McAfee when he's on the stage just kind of felt weird.
Yeah, there's several reasons why he's Xing. That's one. The other one is some people not very happy with how he did the things last night.
I saw a lot of that too, and I actually got into a debate last night on social media with somebody who was like, "Oh, Pat McAfee ruins everything," and I'm like, "God, like I get it. If Pat was showing up to baseball games, like regular season baseball games, and talking like that, I'd be like, probably a little much." The Home Run Derby's fun. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be a goofy, fun thing that is electrifying and has a great atmosphere. I watched every swing last night by myself in a hotel room, and I had a ball watching the big dumper go big dong over and over. I love the vibe Pat McAfee brings to sports. I'm not saying it needs to be everywhere or honestly in any games, but something like a Home Run Derby is tailor-made for that guy.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Joy Taylor.
Joy Taylor released by Fox Sports yesterday. In fact, not only did they release Joy Taylor, but they also cut Craig Carton's Breakfast Ball, and they caught, what was the other one, Speak, which I think had Emmanuel Acho on it. Like, they cut, I think, three shows yesterday, two of which Joy Taylor was a part of, and released her from her contract outright. Now, obviously, remember, last year there was a bunch of controversy about some behind-the-scenes behavior of Joy Taylor and some other execs she was involved with, and I think it would be silly not to say that had something to do with it, but a seismic shift in the sports talkosphere yesterday on FS1.
All right, last one, Roman Reigns.
Returned last night. I did not watch it, obviously, as I was watching the Derby and doing work. I have it on the DVR to watch at some point this week, but probably would have watched at least the last segment had I known that our tribal chief was making his return. Acknowledge him. That's going to do it for the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being here. Peter Burns, we'll interview him later in the day. I'll play that for you tomorrow. David Nuno of Texags Live will do the same thing. He's been covering football 20 years, working on Josh Pate, Laura Rutledge, Ben Watson tomorrow, and more. Follow us on social media at The Fan Upstate and at The Rob Brown Show. I'll keep you updated throughout the day. That's going to do it. I appreciate you being here. Thanks again to Ingles for being our sponsor and, you know, getting us here. And thanks to you for listening. For Lonzo, I'm Rob Brown. We'll see you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better on The Rob Brown Show and The Fan Upstate.